I do thank you for coming to the show today. It's a show that Molly and I have wanted to do for a long time. We're going to talk about real estate consulting in the real world. What we want to do is get beyond the theory and philosophy, how to use consulting in your day-to-day business to find more customers, to find more clients to serve, to be able to offer them more services and, you know, therefore bring more money into your bank account. So what we want to do today is give you some solid ideas about how to use the principles of real estate consulting in your daily practice of real estate. I have Molly Wasserman here with me. She is the founder of the ACRE program, and ACRE stands for Accredited Consultant in Real Estate. In many ways, Molly seems to be my long-lost sister. We have similar concerns about the future of the real estate industry, as well as highly compatible solutions for the troubles that we see plaguing our industry. Now, Molly and I are not peas in a pod. We each have our own agendas and our own viewpoints, but probably at least 90% of the time, we're in agreement about what's happening in our industry and what needs to happen so that we don't find ourselves out of a job in 5 years, which I hate to say it, but I think that's a distinct possibility if we keep going the way we have been. So Molly and I have done several shows together over the last few years, and we actually spoke together at a Women's Council of Realtors event in July. Now, most of the time we get together and talk, we introduce or we at least include the concept of real estate consulting, but we've never done a nuts and bolts show specifically about it. And what we found is that at the end of our talks, we get pummeled in a very nice way with questions about the nuts and bolts of consulting. And since we always only have a few minutes left, we can't answer them all. And we always say, you know, we really ought to do a show just about those questions. So here we are today doing that. Now, as part of the promotion for the show, I asked you to do a little bit of homework prior to showing up today, specifically to familiarize yourself with real estate consulting so that what we cover today will be more interesting and more relevant and more useful to you. If you did your homework, thank you. We appreciate it. But if you didn't or if you registered too late to get to it, that's fine. Just know that if what we're talking about sounds interesting to you but you feel that you're missing something, there is background information that you can access afterwards. So don't be frustrated that we're talking about something you're not quite sure you're familiar with. In the homework assignment that I included with the registration is pretty much everything you'd ever need to know to get up to speed. So good morning, Molly. Thanks for being here today.
Good morning, Jennifer.
Let me go ahead so that we have time to get to the nuts and bolts. Let me do a very abbreviated introduction to real estate consulting so that we can get to the nuts and bolts of the real world of real estate consulting that we promised you. So, what is real estate consulting? Well, it's not simply calling yourself a consultant and then going about your business as usual, nor is consulting simply an alternative compensation structure. What real estate consulting is, at least what we're going to talk about today, is an approach to a real estate business where you take off your traditional real estate salesperson's hat and you interact with buyers and sellers as their professional real estate advisor, maybe their agent, maybe not, but as their advisor. It's a mindset shift away from simply pushing for signatures on agreements toward really looking at a buyer's or seller's situation to help them identify their options and choose the best solution for their situation, which may or may not be a traditional agent, buyer, or seller relationship. I look at a true real estate consultant. There's a lot of different analogies you can come up with, but one of my favorites is that it's sort of similar to like a small town lawyer who can handle just about any legal issue that you may have. He can do divorces and prenups and wills and estate planning, and he can probably represent you in traffic court, and he can write a letter to a credit agency who's hassling you, or maybe he can even help you with a personal injury case. When you go into his office, he doesn't have just one specialty or one solution and therefore just one fee for service. He looks at what's troubling you and comes up with a solution and a fee that's customized to your individual situation. So maybe he charges a flat fee for will preparation and an hourly rate for traffic court and a contingent fee for personal injury. Or maybe he can offer his clients a choice in the extent of the service he provides and then a choice in how they pay him based on the client's own personal experience, their willingness and ability to handle some of the tasks involved, their financial situation, and their tolerance for risk. So if we translate that example of a small-town lawyer to a real estate practice, we would approach our prospects and clients able to offer them a variety of services and fees and fee structure that we can customize to their situation. So, for example, maybe we know a guy who wants to sell his house to his sister. So he doesn't need a real estate agent to list and market the property, but he does need help preparing the contract and getting the transaction to closing. Maybe a homeowner wants to get a reasonably good idea of how much equity is in her home to decide if she should, you know, pursue refinancing. Maybe a family is trying to decide if they should remodel or move based on the value of their home and the future potential value of their home. Maybe you run into a buyer who's already under contract with a for sale by owner, and they just want your help getting through the inspection and on to closing. I know that Molly has probably a million examples of services that a trained real estate consultant can offer the world that someone who is operating under a more traditional model cannot, which I hope you can see opens up a whole world of opportunity for someone who has real estate expertise and wants to be able to offer that expertise to people who don't necessarily need the full services of a traditional real estate agent, buyer, or seller relationship. So, Molly, I'm thinking this is as good a time as any to talk a little bit more about that, about the opportunities that being a consultant
Absolutely.
Brings to you and your bank account and your services. So I'll turn the microphone over to you and let you tell us about some of the things that you did when you were a consultant and what other acres are doing.
Yeah, I think, Jennifer, and it was a great introduction. I think the biggest hurdle that, you know, we need to get over as real estate professionals is that we have been, you know, real estate has traditionally always been a sales profession paid by contingent commission. And therefore, you know, we've been limited to this model where we only get paid if a transaction occurs, which limits us to, as you said, transactions. But there is such a world of opportunities that open up when you can offer different choices. Where, you know, when consulting, as I developed it, one of the things that just totally turned me off were the slick gimmicks out there that were coming up not because there wasn't a need for them. There was a need for alternatives. Unfortunately, you know, if the traditional real estate industry would not step up to provide the clear, professional, transparent choices, then something's going to step into the breach. And something did, and we're all aware of them. We're all aware of the fly-by-night companies or the companies that offer what I call functionary-type services for, you know, for a fee, the FSBO companies that, you know, they offer you, and by the way, all on non-contingent fees, and you don't get your money back and everything else. But they don't provide the most important value that we can provide, which is the fiduciary, where it takes not only our licensure but our experience and our expertise and all of those such vital things. We get caught up in the sales mentality, and oh, we got to get a signature. And I love that, you know, that comment about getting a signature on the thing. It's the only way to be paid. One of the most common concerns that a lot of people have in looking at consulting is that they somehow believe that it will lose them business. And if you were going at alternative compensation as an either or, that you either get paid the traditional way or you bring up this newfangled crazy idea that not many people have heard about and my broker probably won't let me do it, blah, 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 yeah, you could make the case that you would lose business. We at Acre don't advocate that, you know, which, and I mean, I'm going to take a step back, Jennifer, and you and I talked about this to say that if we lived in a perfect world, would I personally would love to see us eventually not get paid by contingent commission, because I do think that commissions sometimes can bring a conflict of interest. However, we live in the real world here, and the title of this show is Real Estate in the Real World, so consulting in the real world. So let's talk about the real world. And so we've never advocated that you do an either or. What we advocate is that you approach every consumer that you talk to from a, you know, from a vantage point that I'm not a traditional sales agent. I'm a real estate consultant. I'm a trained real estate consultant. As such, my job is to do a very thorough analysis of what your needs are and to be able to offer you these quality, transparent choices to you, and they are geared toward what your needs are, not what I would like to make money off of, but what your needs are. And, you know, you touched on this, but if we talked, let's first talk about the traditional consumers that we work with, buyers and sellers. Mm-hmm. If you are a seller wishing to sell your home, you're going to probably and traditionally hire a real estate agent to assist you with it. Now, this is changing, and it's changing faster than I think any of us. It's taking me by surprise. When I'm seeing both anecdotally and statistically, I think we'll see it more and more, the growth of sites such as eBay and Craigslist, where buyers and sellers are finding each other more and more. They are now, that does not mean that they want to do the whole enchilada by themselves. They don't. And we talked about this in the FSBO show. But they are finding each other more and more. And so sellers and buyers, and let's talk about sellers, when you offer options, you open up lots of opportunities. Why? And this is why I say approach everybody. Even if you're 100% sure that they are going to go the traditional route, you always want to let them know that you have you're able to offer them different choices. Why? For, number one, it will make you stand out in the crowd. You will be a thoughtful, client-centered professional. And if they were questioning whether it's you or somebody else, you can bet it will be you, even if they go the traditional route, because you've offered them the choices. Number two, they're going to tell all of their friends and neighbors. So much of our market, it's like the job market out there. It's so much of the possible business that we can get, we don't know about. We don't know about it until a seller or a buyer raises their hand and says, I'm ready to either buy a house or sell a house. But so many of these opportunities, you know, and again, on the selling and the buying, you don't know about because they have not yet raised their hand. Sellers will and buyers will tell their friends, their neighbors, and everybody about you. So that's why it's really important with these two crucial groups to let them know that you offer choices. There are also a lot of sellers who are thinking about selling their house. They're not ready yet. They're not sure that they're ready yet. They're not sure if ultimately it's going to be the best choice. They're faced with a tough, tough decision. They're concerned about contacting a traditional sales agent because they understand that a sales agent, the only way that they're going to get paid is if they sell the house, if they can list and then sell the house. They're certainly not, there's no role out there that they know of until the consulting model becomes much more mainstream where they can hire somebody to come in and talk about their situation and pay them for their expertise. Sometimes an hour or two of consult is vitally, vitally important to these folks to help them to decide what it is that they want to do. In the traditional sales model, and we've all been there, where we go to somebody and because of the market, they have no business selling their house, no business at all. They have not, they bought at the wrong time, they have no equity, they're not going to make their money back, they're not even going to break even. It's very difficult for us in our position to talk them out of listing their home because it's the only way we get paid. And even if we do the right thing, and I think the vast majority of us do the right thing, they don't believe it. So, you know, one of the reasons you want to let the world know if you become a trained consultant that you they can in fact hire you for an hour or two of consult. That and because you're being paid, they can pretty much be assured that you'll tell them the straight scoop. Now, again, you may tell them the straight scoop anyway, but they don't know that. And they're suspicious that you're going to because it's counterintuitive to how you get paid. So that's why with traditional buyers and sellers, there's a huge advantage of offering choices. Again, even if you're 100% sure they're going to go, and they might surprise you, and you may find out that they have needs that you never knew about. But again, 99% of the time, they may choose to go the traditional route in that situation, but you still want to let them know. The other important point, and this is what I was trying to get to, and I'm rambling a little bit, so forgive me. But one of the reasons that you want, and the best source of new business is the best source of new business, period, and that is word of mouth, what I call proactive word of mouth, which is why every time you meet with a prospective client, you want to talk about the choices that you offer because it is going to open up business that you don't know about, nobody knows about, you never would have had. Our industry has forfeited a fortune over the years because we did not have a structure to work with people that didn't fit the mold. And again, now we're going to start going into lots of opportunities that are not necessarily transactions or not now. You broached on a couple of
things. I remember, yeah, and I was just, as you were saying that, I remember when I was with a traditional company and I had, I don't know, a handful of people come to me and they wanted, you know, they wanted the contract to closing service. And I mean, to me, it was so obvious that I will charge them a fee for that. I mean, it just was like, okay, of course. And everyone, every other agent I talked to, and this was relatively early in my career because I was still with a traditional brokerage, every other agent I talked to said, oh, no, you need to charge them X percent, which was what I would charge a listing, you know. And I thought, that doesn't make any sense. Why would I charge, you know, and my mind was going through this exercise of, now, that doesn't make any sense, and how do I sell this, and how do I make that happen? And everyone was just so determined that I needed to charge that, you know, that contingent commission, even though there was nothing contingent and really nothing commissionable about it. And so then when I went, anyway, I know you're going to talk about this, but
well, no,
to me, $1,000 or $2,000 or whatever that magic number was for me, that made sense, but nobody else grasped that. And to me, that was just such an odd.
Our industry is just a strange industry in that we have been so coaxed into, and now part of it we understand, and I've talked about it. If you've watched the intro to consulting video or my presentations, you know that it goes back historically to the fact that real estate was practiced years and years before agency was ever heard of, or you know, consumer advocacy, or even determining, you know, I wrote a blog post last couple of weeks on Active Rain called the clothing store versus the personal shopper. Mm-hmm. And I talked about it to bring out the point that, you know, if you need a new suit, you could go to the clothing store and the salesperson is going to do their best to sell you a suit. Now, if it pleases you at the same time, that's a bonus, but that's not what they're in the business for. Now, this doesn't mean they're bad salespeople or even bad people, but their loyalty is to their store and to themselves. It's not to you. It's not. Now, if you go and then go to the personal shopper, you are paying them to find you the suit to meet your needs. And, you know, obviously you don't usually hire a personal shopper for one suit, let's say a whole wardrobe, whatever. You know, that you are paying them to find you. Their goal is to meet your needs. So historically, when we look at how real estate was originally a sales profession and made a total sense to be paid on contingent commission because it was a product you were selling. That's what you were doing. The problem, I believe, that we've run into is that when agency became a primary focus in the 90s, you know, we often think of it as buyer agency, but it really was a new accent on agency. Our role totally changed. Unfortunately, our state national associations didn't take the opportunity right at that point, and they should have taken the opportunity to re-examine Well, if our focus is now going to be on representing, advocating, and counseling the client, then how does our compensation match with that? And is there other alternatives that would match a little bit better? That, you know, contingent, if you're moving a product, it makes sense to be paid a commission. I would say that our primary goal, and it's actually in our code of ethics when you're a realtor, is our fiduciary duties are primary. We need to put the client's interests above all else, including and most especially our own. Yet, we're still paid where we, you know, and I always joke about it's the choice between ethics and eating. If you are really behind on your bills, it takes Mother Teresa to not try to take a listing and price it a little lower so it'll go fast and you can, oh, my God, get a paycheck.
Or price it a little high so that you get the listing and at least have a shot at getting the paycheck.
Exactly.
But now I interrupted you before you were getting ready to talk about some of the extracurricular opportunities that are out there aside from simply –
Yeah, and we got it kind of way late, which we often do.
Yeah, we do. So I'm gonna keep us from doing that. So
thanks for bringing me
back.
But again, if you take a look at our job as being able to provide advice, counsel, which is, by the way, what we ultimately are getting paid for, and frankly, and this is very germane to why consulting is so important going forward with the growth of technology, because technology is taking over so many of what I call the functionary activities. But what can never be taken over by technology is fiduciary care and counsel. It can't be. You can't put that on eBay. You can't matchmaking. Yeah, that could be done on eBay, but you can't. A computer cannot take the place of experience, expertise, and counsel. And that's where the load of opportunities happens. Let's take the example that, and homeowners are my favorite. They are the, I call them the forgotten group, because we don't tend to think of homeowners as a great source of income. But they're a treasure trove of opportunities if you can offer some choices in how you're compensated. And again, let's talk about some examples. We are sometimes called by homeowners who are saying, you know what, we've outgrown our house, that lovely house that you sold us a couple of years ago, and we've outgrown it, and we either need to add on to our house or we need to sell it and buy a bigger house. Now, you might get a couple of those calls because you were their agent before you and you built up a level of trust, and they're going to trust you to give them good advice, but a lot of times you won't get the call. You won't get the call. Why? Because they don't believe that you are the person that could advise them on this decision, because you can't be objective.
Or they don't want the sales pitch.
One way they get paid, they look and say, okay, yeah, they're going to really give me a choice here. One decision they get paid, they actually might get two transactions, and one way they don't get paid at all. So, yeah, right, they're really going to give me great advice here. And how many times have, Jennifer, and we've talked about this, how many times have we walked through a home on a prospective listing appointment and see a house that was way, way overbuilt for the neighborhood? They put in the cabana and the pool and the granite countertops in a working-class neighborhood, and they're never going to get their money back. And I know I've had that experience, and I'll say, when you were thinking about doing all this great remodeling, did you think to talk with a realtor first? And they'll look at you like you've got two heads. Well, why would I have talked to a realtor? I wasn't selling at the time. But who better than a realtor to have been able to advise them on what remodels, if they're going to do remodeling, would pay them back? Would be smart expenditures. We don't get those consumers, and so many of them would have been so greatly benefited. And had you given them the opportunity, had they known that I can hire a real estate professional who's got all the knowledge and expertise and experience of a professional to be able to come in for an hour or two of counsel and be able to provide a market analysis both before you do the remodel and after, and do a side-by-side comparison of which option would work best for them, how much would they pay? And especially if you did what I did throughout my career, which was to offer them that, whatever you pay me in terms of, you know, an hourly rate or for consultation, if down the line you decide that you do want to enter a transaction, I will credit you whatever you've paid me. You know, that way they feel, unlike a lot of the FSBO companies, that it's not money that they've thrown away. It's an investment toward later real estate needs. But there are so many opportunities. How many times have lenders called us and asking us, because they're looking for refi business and they want us to do a CMA for them so that they can make a pitch to the client to say, hey, it's time to refinance. I talked to Jennifer and she told me that your house is now worth blah, 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 so you can actually do this refinance. We've been doing it for free, but how many times would consumers love to be able to get help? A lot of times they don't want to ask you, even if they know you, because they're good people and they don't want to use your time and not pay you. And we just have lost so many opportunities. Remodeling, refinance.
You know, I was just thinking of another one that I had during the peak of the fix and flip era in Denver, which I think we may see that again, is I had professional investors who went to auction. You know, they went and knocked on doors. They were finding the houses they wanted to buy because that was their job. They did that full time. They went through neighborhoods, knocked on doors, and said, you know, do you want to sell your house? And they didn't ask me to do that, but they needed my help with comps, with, you know, exactly what you're talking about. And I remember one guy coming to me and saying, I mean, I'm glad he came to me and said, you know, how can we make this happen? And luckily I was at RE/MAX at the time, was 100% company. I could do whatever the heck I wanted. So we were able to work out very reasonable arrangements where I was a part of the team and they could go out and spend their days finding great deals. And then, you know, I was part of that team because I had the flexibility to offer choices, to design a compensation picture that made some sense. We got a little bit of a late start, so I want to go ahead and move on to the next the next segment as quickly as we can. We've got some people on going, okay, I'm sold. This is great. I want to do it. How do I do it? So I'll let you, you know, if you have anything else you wanted to add to that, and then we'll move on.
No, I just wanted to just comment, you know, homeowners are a huge treasure trove. Investors, so many of our acres are working out arrangements with investors, you know, in the application that you talked about, Jennifer, but also with just with people who flip houses all of the time. We all know that they are happy to use us on the buying end, but they don't often use us on the selling end. And they're often looking for arrangements that when they're dealing with multiple transactions, it's a huge area. And there are so many, and I mean, I could go on for the entire hour and all the different opportunities that you offer, but I mean, certainly all of the people on this call can start to think about all of the opportunities that they could have. And again, without taking away from your traditional or present commission income, and nobody
is
telling you to get rid of that.
And I'm sure some of you on the call are thinking, ooh, I could use this for this situation or that situation. So let me see if there's any questions on here that related to what we've been talking about, and then we'll move forward. I'm getting a lot of nuts and bolts type questions. So Denise wants to know if she can take the ACRE course before she has her real estate license.
The answer is yes. However, understand that you really can't do real estate consulting without a license and a brokerage. And this brings us to a good point that I wanted to say earlier and I forgot. We often get the question, do you have to put your fees through your brokerage? The answer is yes.
That's the next question.
Any licensed activity must go through your broker, has to go through your broker, or the broker, or if you're your own broker. If it is a licensed activity, yes. This is not, and in fact, a lot of brokers, I believe, would change their mind about consulting if they understood that we understand that all licensed activity must go through your broker. This is not a change of, if it's real estate income, it's going through your broker of record, period.
So let's go ahead and hit probably the biggest question people have, or at least the biggest one I've seen, is, okay, I'm sold, I want to do this, I went to my broker, or how do I go to my broker, and my broker says no. I don't want you to do this. What do you do then?
Well, there's a couple of things. number one, if you have a good relationship with them, I would highly, highly encourage you to ask them to take 15, 20 minutes out of their day and watch the video Intro to Consulting for Professionals. It will lay out, and it was in the homework, it will lay out very, in a very succinct manner, what consulting is all about. A lot of brokers' objection is they don't understand what it is. They think it's some kind of discounting scheme, or something that they don't understand what it is. So that's important. If it's in fact that they do understand what it is, that it is a model that provides choices to the consumer in the services they can receive as well as how they can be paid, if they understand all that, but they just, for whatever reason, don't want to take it on, you have a choice to make. Now, a lot of our acres have found that they come around over time, and they do it through a little thing that we're very familiar with, that most brokers are very happy to have you do, which is a broker price opinion. A lot of agents are paid a fee by a company to do broker price opinions, and that's a fee for service, and yet that's considered okay. So, if you take that and you say to your broker, if I had somebody who was willing to pay me for a market analysis, would you have an objection for us, not me, but us, mm-hmm. accepting a fee for that? It would go to you, and grant you, it's going to be small change compared to a traditional commission, but do you have a problem with me getting paid for something? And usually, especially if you bring in the example of the broker price opinion, they'll start to rethink it, and that's kind of like the little opening that kind of opens it up. If they are absolutely adamant that they will not allow you any other option other than the traditional sales model with only contingent commissions, then you have a choice to make. Now, I will tell you that it is 100 times better than when I started, because I didn't have Acre. I didn't have any other group. I didn't have any like-minded individuals. I had nothing. And if you hit a wall, but you believe that this is the future and this is an important model for your business to be able to offer the consumer choices, then you have a choice to make. And fortunately, now there, I will tell you, and I mentioned this to you, Jennifer, that it's interesting that in the last year, over 50% of our new Acre enrollees are not agents. They are brokers. And to me, that's a very interesting development. Because now, grant you, a lot of them are, small independents, but most of the big franchises such as that are 100% or a hybrid like Remax or Keller Williams are getting very, very accepting. Again, as long as you follow all of your state and national regulations and rules, and there is really nothing unprofessional about practicing consulting.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, I just said, and the other thing that I always talk to brokers about is that, and I mentioned this in the video, is that, consulting is really quite mainstream in the rest of the business world. It's just real estate that has a problem with it.
Well, and let me add to that, and then we'll move on because we have several other questions, but I'd like to just add a couple thoughts is, first of all, what I don't want you doing is going to your broker and saying, I just attended the seminar this morning about real estate consulting and I want to do it. Will you let me? I don't think if the broker is not familiar with it, they have a gazillion other things to do. They really don't want to write a new policy manual. I mean, I can understand where a broker would say, thanks, but no thanks. I don't have time to investigate this. Keep in mind, Molly mentioned this to me earlier offline, that the broker is completely liable for you. So for you, to say, okay, gee, I'm going to let you do this even though I don't understand it, it's very understandable that the broker is going to be resistant to do that. If I owned my own company and somebody came to me and said, hey, I just heard this seminar about blah, 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 and I want to do it, and I'm stressing out because my computer's broken or whatever that day, I'm going to say no. Okay, so I don't think the brokers are the bad guys necessarily. They're not at all.
Not at all.
So what I would advise for somebody is to do what Molly just said, is take the ACRE course, go through the exercises, do the,
the business strategy workbook.
Do that and then say, you know what, this is something I want to do. I understand it. And then at that point, you can go to your broker with a plan, you know, that says, you know, here are the services I'd like to offer. Here's about what I'd like to charge for them. Here's how I plan to market myself. And you need to do that for you, not just for your broker. Your broker, especially if they're not familiar with ACRE, is not going to take the ball and run with it. So, you know, you need to get yourself to a position that you can say, this is a good business model that I want to implement. Okay, that's step one. And then, as Molly said as well, if the broker says, you know what, Jennifer, I understand it, I get what you're saying, but it's just not something that's going to happen here right now, you have to respect that. It's the broker's business. They can certainly tell you yay or nay on that. But for me, once I ran a consulting business when I had my own company and when I was at the 100% REMAX, and I could not go back to a company that told me, no, you cannot do that. So, you know, if you're at the point in your career where you want more freedom and flexibility over the choices you offer consumers, over the fees you charge them, then it's probably time to look somewhere else. And there are brokers out there who will either, one, embrace the ACRE philosophy, or two, will leave you alone to run your business. So,
And I think that's part of it. And unfortunately, you know, there's a lot of brokers have been burned, and we've talked about this, by you know, models and companies. They come in, they come out that are not client-centric. They are not responsible. They are not fiduciary in nature, and they're leery of them. And you need to also respect the fact that this is different, but they don't know that. And, you know, again, and I also just wanted to stress, for those of you who don't know, the ACRE course comes with a period of time. Right now it's a year. We are going to be shortening that. But right now it's a full year on our coaching exchange. And this is like a private little community of all of like-minded individuals. And it's a great place where you can, and we get questions all the time from, you know, well, how do I talk to my broker about this? And you'll get tons of answers, not just from Molly, but from all of these other people who are doing this in their markets. So I just want to
mention that. Okay, now here's the big question that we're getting a lot of questions on the here, is as a buyer or a seller, but let's say sellers, everyone else offers a free CMA. Why would somebody pay me for one? That's one. And then buyers, which may be a different topic, but, you know, if I'm – we may not have time to talk about that. This always happens. But, you know, how when there's so many realtors out there who do provide their services at no upfront cost, I'm not going to say for free, but at no upfront cost, how do you compete? How do you go in and say, well, I'm so cool that I can charge for my CMAs, or I can charge a buyer upfront for my time?
The answer is there is no right or wrong answer. What I would tell you is, and this is what I stress, this is about choice. It's not about saying, well, I do it differently and you have to do it my way, and therefore, you know, you're going to compare me with, you know, I would rather say it's like the Annie Oakley song, anything you can do, I can do better. Anything that they would want in a traditional agent, you can do that. You can offer them a traditional commission. But you can also present that I also offer other choices. And let them lead you. You know, this is not about convincing the consumer to do it your way. This is about letting the consumer choose, with your guidance, what's best for them. And
that's
so important. And it's so important. You know, we get so many inquiries from our ACRES, people who've gone through the program, who will say, how do I get them to do this? Don't get them to do anything any more than you get a buyer to buy this house because it's offering a 3% co-broke and you need it. Unfortunately, there are people who actually try to twist people's arms, but I would like to think that professionals don't do that. we don't sell people, and this is the part of the problem of breaking away from the sales model, is that it's not about you getting people to do it. You know, I personally did not, especially toward the end of my active practice, I did not do a free CMA. I just didn't. Would I go on a listing appointment? Absolutely. Would I give them kind of generalities about the market? Yep. But I also told them that, you know, part of doing a CMA is to have a heart-to-heart, not only about what the prices are in your neighborhood, but we end up getting into talks about your motivations and understand the age of buyer agency. Anything you tell me, if we're not under contract, becomes public knowledge. If I later go into contract with a buyer who wants to purchase your home and you've hired another listing agent, anything you've told me, I can tell that buyer. So, you know, I always advise and I always talk to sellers along the line of, I'm not going to do a real in-depth CMA until unless you decide you want to hire me. And again, and there's different ways of wording this, but, you know, for those who do free CMAs, you know, I'm not telling you not to. What I'm simply saying is that by offering another option, it really touches on not only on them, but on the people that they know who might love to get a CMA, but they want to make sure there's no conflict of interest, so they would actually like to pay for it. And I told you this story a long time ago, Jennifer, about a gentleman who called me ask me what I would charge to do a market analysis. It was in a second home or an investment home or something like that. And after asking him a few questions, I quoted him a price, and he said, fine, let's do it. And I said to him, I said, I've got to ask you, why did you call me and want to pay me for the CMA? You could hire 1,000 agents to do a free one. And he said something that I'll never forget. He said, because if I bring in a traditional sales agent to do my CMA, their goal, they're on a job interview. Their goal is to get the job, to list the house. And they're going to tell me whatever they think I want to hear in order to get that listing. See, if I pay you that for your expertise, then that's what I'm going to get. And because I'm paying you, I know that you're going to tell me exactly what this house is worth and what it would likely sell for. And it was just a really interesting comment. Do most consumers think it through that far? No. But some do, and you will never know how many people aren't calling you because
I like what you said about it, and this goes back to a show that you and I did a year or two ago, is when you give people choices, they understand what their choices are. And if they choose to go the quote-unquote free route, you know, then they, you know, there's a higher cost at the tail end of that. If they choose to go the, you know, an upfront or a, you know, a less contingent sort of structure, then it's less money at the end of the game, but it's, you know, it's less risk for you and a little bit more risk for them.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that, you know, and again, we you mentioned a couple of questions, you know, one to do with free CMA and the other one to do with buyer services being considered free. And as a matter of fact, I just wanted to say, I just posted on Active Rain this morning something, it was a rant. I'm borrowing your word, but it was a rant, and it was entitled, you know, buyer services are not free. They're just financed.
Mm-hmm.
And that opens up a whole thing, but we can get into that about how we continually tell buyers, don't worry about my fees. My services are free to you. Not only is it patently false, it's just being paid for through their mortgage,
mm-hmm.
but it also affects how they treat us. And we're constantly complaining that buyers take us all over Kingdom Come, and they don't seem to have any respect for our time. And that, well, what do you expect when you're telling them that your services are free all the time?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing of value, you know, and when you constantly tell them that. So we can get into that, but, I mean, I think because that question was raised on consulting is something, choices are something you should offer everybody, including buyers, if nothing else than to let them know that services, your services are not free. They are being paid for. Now, they may be financed over a 30-year mortgage that's built into the price of the house, but the bottom line is they're paying for services. So if they go the traditional route, and most buyers will because they don't have a lot of upfront cash to pay you upfront for your services, but at least you will find
they have the choice and they understand why you got the contingent fee that you did. That's what I like about it.
And you can, you know, adjust your fees accordingly. But I cannot tell you the level of respect people have, whether it's sellers, buyers, or non-transaction clients such as homeowners, when you lay out the different choices that you offer and the different ways you can be compensated. When they go the traditional route, number one, if it's a seller, they don't try to commissionectomy you because they understand why commissions are what they are, why they have to be higher because they're the risk mitigation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just such a different relationship of trust because they don't feel like you're selling them something. And that's the value of providing the choices, even when they go the traditional route. Sorry to get long-winded.
Okay. Well, we always kind of tend to digress into some of the theory, which I sometimes apologize for and sometimes I don't, because I do think the theory is important because this is your business and it's, you know, you if you understand why you're doing something and the philosophy of it, then you can make your own, you know, you can make your own rules, you can make your own business, create your own practice. But we need to get one question off the table here because everybody's asking it, and that is, what fees do you charge? How do you figure out what fee you're going to charge? How, you know, that you know what I'm asking.
Yes. And the answer is you, in the ACRE course, you there's two parts to it. One is the concept of consulting and, the theory behind it and all of that. But the other part of the course is what we call business strategy, where you actually have a workbook that you work on, where you lay out your strategic focus, where you want to focus, you know, where is your business right now, where do you want to take it, what groups of clients do you want to work with. Then you figure out your hourly rates, and I say that in plural because you will find you will have two rates, one for what I call functionary or administrative type tasks, the other for fiduciary level tasks, and they would, as examples, be pricing, negotiating, troubleshooting of the transaction, anything that is fiduciary in nature. You'll have a different rate for that. And then start, and this is why your strategic focus is important, then to start to set up the beginnings of your fee schedules. And some of them it will relate to what clients do you tend to work with, whether they're traditionals, do I work with sellers or buyers. I had one of my most lucrative fee packages that I've always used is what I call the negotiating and troubleshooting package, which is for people who either they were selling to their daughter or they found each other on eBay or Craigslist, and here if they're a seller, they've got their buyer. Now what do I do? They can bring you in for the most important part. And frankly, what a lot of people who try to do their own home sales don't understand is that the most valuable thing that you need the agent for is not for bringing in the buyer. It is for getting them the best transaction and making sure that it closes once the buyer is found. So, you know, that's an example of a package. So, you know, obviously I can't give you the entire workbook and have you work through it on this phone call. That's what the ACRE course was developed for. One thing I will stress, and we stress it in the course, is that this is a work in process. And even after you develop your you know, the beginnings of your base fee packages, you will find it evolves. And frankly, once you become an ACRE and you're able to get on the coaching exchange and share ideas, and we have other add-on products that you can purchase and, you know, will help you along those lines too. So it's a part of the course, but that's kind of the general framework of what you would be developing.
Well, and the short answer to that is that you will. I doubt you will find any ACRE who will tell you exactly what to charge for this and that. And I've been an ACRE for a long time, and I follow the conversations. And it's, you know, nobody's going to say, well, this is what you should charge for a CMA and this is what you should charge for a day of showing or whatever. They're just not going to do that. However,
nor can we.
Molly,
nor
there's a conversation,
they.
Right, exactly. There's a conversation going on at the exchange right now that I've been following that I think it's about pretend real estate commissions never existed. Pretend we never were paid on commission. Now, let's say that you decided you wanted to go be a real estate agent, but commissions were not how you were paid. Let's just take that out of the equation. If you were going to sit down, you know, Mary, Nancy, Lisa, Deb, all of you on this call, and say, okay, how am I going to charge for my service? How am I going to charge a buyer? What makes sense for me and for the buyer? What makes sense, and I'm working with a seller? If commissions were not on the table, how would you create your business model? And I think that's a really good, I think that's a good place to start, is where would you feel fairly compensated for the work you're going to do? And you've got to factor in risk. Am I getting paid up front or contingently? Okay, there's a difference there. But anyway, it's, you know, we are in business for ourselves. We are creating our own real estate practice. And so I think when you're, you know, to say, well, I want someone to tell me, you know, how much to charge for this, you know, go through the exercise yourself and say, well, what's a fair price? You know, what's a fair price for my time, my expertise? What's a fair price? You know, what do I think somebody would be comfortable paying and feel that they got their money's worth? As
and, you know, and unfortunately, I'm sorry to interrupt, but it's just unfortunately in our industry, Jennifer, we just, you know, and I'm guilty of it. Everybody is guilty of it at one point or another. We want the silver bullet. We want somebody, and we'll pay thousands of dollars, and we, unfortunately, I'll have to admit to having paid some people thousands of dollars for a product that you could buy off the shelf and would tell you all the answers and you could make, you know, $1 million. And the bottom line is there are really no silver bullets. Anything worthwhile that's going to work well is going to take some elbow grease. It's going to take some work. The reason that nobody can give you their fee schedule is it's like taking someone's prescription medicine. What works for them isn't necessarily going to work for you. Just like I have a problem with handing a one-size-doesn't-fit-all package to a consumer. People's needs are different. And your needs,
that's part
your
of
market.
Being
yeah, and if you take it back to how you're compensated, you know, somebody in Indiana may have a totally different price point and market than you would in Southern California. So, you know, you need to really look at, and this is why it's imperative that you set up. Now, you get a lot of support and a lot of guidance in helping you and a lot of ideas on how to get past. But setting up those basic, your hourly rates, so much of that is what do you want to earn? What would pay you fairly? And I thank you for bringing up the post on the exchange. You know, I posted it because we so often get caught up in with how we have been paid, and people will say, well, gee, if I was paid on a commission on this house, I'd get paid $12,000, and with a fee, I'm only going to get paid $6,000, and I'm not leaving $6,000 on the table. And whoa, wait a minute. Step back a minute. Forget what you might have, could have, should have, would have gotten paid if the transaction went together, if the buyers didn't walk away, if I was blonde and blue-eyed and lost 20 pounds. Take that out of your mind and instead say, okay, is that, in this case, $6,000, is that going to pay me well for the finite number of hours? And by the way, when you get paid non-contingently, unlike a traditional thing where you work a listing till it sells, and then if it falls apart, you have to start all over again and work it and work it and work it, and untold infinite numbers of hours. If you work non-contingently, it's for a finite set of tasks and hours. If you're paid very well for those, if you've done it such and structured it such that you're getting paid well, then be happy. And if you aren't getting paid well, then go back to the drawing board and reconfigure your fees because you didn't do them right.
I was going to say, too, is as you become more expert and become more confident in your expertise, your fees will probably go up just as they do in any other industry. You know, where a first-year agent, their fees may be a little bit lower because they're newer. And as they, you know, their second year, third year, fifth year, sixth
absolutely.
Year, they will feel very confident about raising their fees. I saw a discussion on the chat about that as to whether a new agent can, you know, can and should market themselves as an expert, and I'd like to comment on that very quickly before we finish up with a couple more of the questions. We've actually hit more questions than I thought we had. In my opinion, anybody who pursues business and accepts payment for their services should be comfortable calling themselves on some level an expert. So whether you're calling yourself a consultant or just a real estate agent who, you know, works, I think you should feel very comfortable in your expertise when you accept payment for your services. So does that mean that a first-year agent can and should be a consultant? Well, if they can and should be a real estate agent at all, then yes, I think they can be a consultant. I would not want to say that I would, and this is maybe an ideal world, but I don't like the idea that, you know, by working on contingency, that somehow you don't have to be as good.
And to be honest with you, and it brings up a very important point, one of the beautiful things about non-contingent options on getting paid is that it can reflect the level of expertise and experience that you have. You know, first-year intern doctors don't get paid what, you know, 20-year veterans do. Having said that, I will tell you that some of the best acres that we have are often new agents. Why? Because their minds are not geared toward, well, this is the way we've always done it. And they're more open to saying it, to looking at new ideas and looking at new solutions to the consumer's problems. The consumer's,
oh my gosh.
You know,
that's a great
the consumer's
point.
Issues, you know, the consumer's issues are not going away. And a lot of these brokers that are, and I'm not picking on brokers, but just a lot of people that are in our industry that bury their head in the sand and say, well, we've never done it that way. Well, you know, and again, if you go through that intro to consulting, I show lots of examples through history of, well, we've never done it that way. And if you don't adapt, you become extinct. And,
well,
you know,
and two things you and I talked about and when we were in Gatlinburg, and I think this is helpful, is one, if everyone out there is saying, that sounds great, but – it'll never work. That sounds great. I don't know how to do it. Keep in mind that your competition, 100% of them or 99% of them are saying that. They're saying that sounds great, but if you can go move beyond the but, and it may be the newer agents who take the lead on this, I think that's a great point because they can sit down and say, I'm building a business for myself. I don't have this history. I think that's a wonderful point. But remember,
and frankly, it was
much of your competition is doing the but, it'll never work. So guess what? We're smart people. Make it work. If you believe in it, make it work. And you
and
can.
By the way, I got the same thing, and I think I mentioned this to you in Gatlinburg, Jennifer, about, you know, when I got into real estate, it was the mid-90s, and buyer agency was just starting to raise its head. And I immediately, just after getting my license, got my ABR. Why? It made sense to me. And yet, the agency that I joined was a traditional, and it was all of these, I call them the, you know, the yakky old ladies. They, you know, these are women that have been in real estate since the 1950s, I think. And they were like, oh, who do that buyer agency thing? I mean, sub-agency ruled in my area. Nobody would ever do that buyer agency thing. Well, buyer agency just made sense to me. I mean, why shouldn't a buyer be represented just like a seller was represented? Why shouldn't you have a contract with a buyer just like you would with a seller? It just made sense to me. I didn't have to unlearn anything. And I didn't have all of these, well, this is the way we've always done it in my head. So, you know, it's something to think
well,
about.
Well, let me clean up a few little things here on the questions, and then I'm going to touch on one more topic, and I'm going to have to let you all go, and hopefully we covered enough of the nuts and bolts. Although I looked through my list of the things I said we'd cover, and we actually covered most of them. So, a couple questions. How much is the acre course? The acre course is free right now. And if you click on one of the links over there on the side, you can go there and get started on it. So it is free. There's no charge for that. So this is not a sales pitch. In fact, really the reason we're doing these somewhat acreish promo shows is not to generate income, but to spread the word because we do believe this is the way of the future and we want to be a part of it, and we want to help our industry survive because Molly and I both have very serious concerns about our industry going the way of the travel industry if we don't change the way we're doing business. There's some other questions in here that are fairly specific, dealing with E&O, dealing with short sales, how do you do, you know, some state-specific questions. And those are all, some of them are state-specific, even county-specific. We know we have a lot of Canadians on here. So those are questions that get raised on the exchange, on the board, and, you know, you can kind of toss those around. I don't want to get into them because what we tell you might not apply in your particular state. The last thing I want to hit, and this falls under that category, but is working with buyers, a little bit more about working with buyers on a consulting basis. And somebody said, wait a minute, I don't get it. How do you do that? Let me explain it from my perspective, and then Molly can kind of touch on it. But the philosophy of working with buyers as a consultant, okay, this is philosophy, theory, okay, so stay with me, is that the buyer needs to know that they are paying X dollars for your services. They're not paying up front for it, but it is in their mortgage. Okay, the seller is not paying you. It's the buyer who's bringing the money to closing. So the buyer is paying you, let's say, $5,000. Let's say your commission check is going to be $5,000. The buyer is paying that. Okay. Under a consulting model, you can be very transparent with that buyer and say, if we work under the traditional contingent model, I'm going to be paid $5,000 at the closing of this transaction. Okay. The alternative would be for you to say, however, and Molly, correct me if I'm wrong, you can pay me up front, non-contingently, whatever a number might be. Maybe it's, you know, $1,500 or $2,000. Or, you know, I don't know what that number is. I'm just throwing numbers out there. But you take much less of a paycheck, but you've mitigated your risk almost completely. And the buyer, so you tell the buyer, you can pay me, you know, let's say $1,500. I'm just making that up. You can pay me $1,500 up front or $5,000 at the end. And I understand there's benefits and disadvantages to either. Obviously, the upfront is less money, but it's more risk. The contingent is more money, it's less risk. That's the theory of it.
Yeah, that
now,
is the theory.
Now, how you put it in practice is a whole different can of worms, and that's very state-specific as to how that can be handled. And, you know, so you're going, wait a minute, how do I not charge them the $5,000 at the end? Now, that's a bit of a pickle, and there are ways around it in some states and some there aren't. That's been a topic of conversation at the ACRE board recently. So, but that's in theory how it works. Am I right there?
Yeah. I mean, you know, again, I just did a new post also on the, you know, that I mentioned before about, you know, the services aren't free, they're being financed. And I use the analogy of that, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Buyer, when we close on your home a few weeks before that, you're going to have to hire a moving company to move you. That's going to be an out-of-pocket cost to you. It's just it's the money you're going to have to come up with. But let's just say that somebody said to you, instead of you paying out-of-pocket for the moving van and all the other moving expenses, that we could roll that into your mortgage. You'd say, great, I won't have that expense. Excuse me. You not only have that expense, you're going to be paying interest on that for 30 years. In other words, it turns out it's not free services. It's actually very expensive because there's time value of money. It's not any different than real estate services. So when you talk with buyers, you know, about, and again, I often talk about the fact that, it also opens up their concerns and ones that you can answer about, well, wait a minute, you know, if you're representing me and you're getting paid only if the house sells and you're getting paid as a percentage mm-hmm. of whatever the sales price is, you know, how do I know that you're not going to try to sell me on a more expensive home because that's how you're getting paid? And we all have, you know, different ways of answering that, but it's a lesson, you know, the truth of the matter is that it commissions, especially when you're working with the buyer, are kind of counterintuitive if you're representing the buyer. So, you know, it opens up that discussion, and it's a good discussion to have because it builds a level of trust because you're able to be very transparent and very honest. As far as coming up with alternatives, there are lots of them, but if you can get past the point that, no, you're going to be paying for real estate services, you can pay for the services and time itself, and there's lots of ways of doing that. You can pay on an hourly rate when we're house shopping. What happens is if they go that route is that they husband their time with you. They don't waste your time looking at houses because they have nothing better to do on a Sunday afternoon. They are looking with you and using your time very because they're paying for it. And how that would work, and you know, again, you're right, it's on a state-by-state basis, but oftentimes you can take it off the price. The offered COBRA could be taken off the price of the house, or it can be going in some states in the form of a rebate. And again, that varies from state to state. By the way, rebate is not a dirty word. It depends on how it's used and how it's done. And one of the other ideas that just came off the Acre Coaching Exchange was, interestingly, from a lender's point of view, a lender who hearing about the consulting model said, you know, any buyer that comes to me with a wad of cash and says, can I buy down my interest rate by a point? You're no different. If you say, look, I'm going to be, you know, paying for my agent directly, you can take that cost savings and apply it toward your interest rate to perhaps buy down your interest rate by a year, by a point. So just some different ideas on how to make that work, given the time constraints. I'm generalizing, but hopefully that will give some food
for
thought.
Yeah, that's very helpful. Fred has a question here. I'm just going to read it real quick and sort of, and anyway, is you know, would you customize the fees within a market, you know, gated custom lakefront versus entry-level community? And I'm going to answer that question with a question is, what do you think? I mean, yes or no? Is there a reason that your fees would be different for a custom gated lakefront community versus an entry-level? What do you think? Would they? Should they? I don't know. You know, it's your business. Make the call. If you don't think
I would answer that, Jennifer, by saying that if working in a listing in a gated community is going to take you considerably more time and material costs, that's going to be reflected in your fees.
Right. But there's not personally, if I were to go back into selling real estate right now, I bet you I would have I am so indoctrinated in this now, I would probably have a different fee for every single client because of the different level of risk, the different level of, you know, the work that I see going to be involved. I would probably go in and customize my fee for every single client I had. And I don't know that I would say, well, gated communities get this and entry levels get this. I mean, there may be a gated community that's going to be a slam dunk, easy sale because of these three reasons, where an entry level is going to be the most difficult sale you have all year, and therefore I'm going to charge. You know, but it's part of being a consultant, part of being doing an analysis, the evaluation. So we do need to close this up.
Just because I'm afraid I'm going to forget it, and this is probably one of the most important things that I think has to be brought up all of the time, and that's that if you the huge number one high point of why I believe consulting is such an important thing to do is because it allows, again, the transparency that you do not have. And you talked about different, you know, different groups and how you charge them and all. We are schooled in a traditional sales model. If somebody says, gee, your commissions are expensive, we're schooled to say, oh, no, they're really not. Here are the 450 things I do for you. Consulting gives you a level of freedom to now be able to nod your head and say, you know, you're right. Commissions are expensive. They're probably the most expensive way to pay for real estate services. Here is why. And without putting judgment on any one method of payment, to be able to be open and say they are expensive because what you're paying, the lion's share of what you're paying for, is the risk mitigation, because me and my broker are going to be carrying the entire risk of, if this transaction doesn't happen, we don't get paid a dime, and we need to reflect that, you know, high risk equals high reward. You can be open in a way that you just can't be when the only way that you can get paid is by commission. You're not going to talk honestly about the pitfalls. With consulting, you can be very and talk about the pluses and minuses without putting a judgment on whether they're right or wrong. There is no right or wrong. But you can be very open to say, these are the pluses and minuses of doing these various options. you, Mr. and Mrs. Consumer, have to choose what works best for you, and I'm able to provide whatever you choose. You know, and again, and by the way, also, consulting, being able to provide choices, is not just the choices to the consumer. It also empowers you to have a choice. You do not, you can choose not to work with people that are going to grind you to a pulp, and they're just not very nice people. It provides you the choice to be able to say, you know what? You know, if they're trying to commissionectomy and get me on the cheap, I can offer that, oh, if money is a problem, here's another option for you, without feeling like you've been used and abused. Just wanted to add that.
Thank you. Good stuff. So, well, the next step then, if you're not already an ACRE, would be if you're interested in this, or if you've been interested in it, but you said, I need the background information, refer back to the registration where I gave you some homework to do. Check that out. If you're already sold on the idea and you're not yet, if you're not yet gone through the ACRE course, please feel free to do that. It is free, and it, once you've completed the course, you can decide whether or not you want to add this to your business model. I hope that you do. And then, you know, you can get on the ACRE Exchange and chat with other people who are doing this. And the more of us there, the merrier. So I would highly encourage you to do that. We do have some questions that we did not get to, which I pretty much knew would be the case. So I'm going to copy and paste those. And they're mostly Molly questions, so I will get those to her, and we'll do our best to get those answered. And I really appreciate y'all sticking this out with us today. I suspected we would go on until the 90-minute mark, and we did. But it's a hot topic. It's something I'm very excited about, very passionate about, that I think this is the future of our industry, not just nuts and bolts, but philosophically as well. So, Molly, thank you for coming on.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Sharing your brilliance. Everybody have a wonderful week, and we'll see you probably next Tuesday or the next show that I have, which is next Thursday. Thanks, everybody.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Bye.